And so we're actually going to kind of hijack the worship service this morning, and we're going to have a bit of a prayer meeting this morning. And so this is a little different format for us today, but I want to set the stage by opening up the Word of God, and we're going to be in Psalm 61. We're going to look at a prayer. We're going to look at a prayer. It's a prayer written down by David, that great king of Israel, about, 3,000 years ago, he wrote this prayer. So thinking about being at prayer in a few minutes, we have, Lynn and I have a couple we're friends with. He's a pastor, and we occasionally go out to dinner together. And he has a practice, a habit in a restaurant that when the server comes, like to take our order, he says to the server, "Hey, we're going to pray for our meal in a couple minutes. How can we pray for you?" So I want you to imagine right now you've been asked that question. Like, in just a minute, we're going to pray. Like, what do you need prayer for? Do you know? I mean, maybe it's like real obvious because you're going through one of those awful times in life. Maybe it's not so obvious. Maybe things are like really good. Just think about that question for a minute. If right now you had to respond, like, what's the most important thing for me to pray about right now? What is it? We're going to have a chance to pray in a minute. I want to tell you a little personal prayer story. I was reminded of this because last weekend I lost my mind and booked reservations for Lynn and I to go to Costa Rica a couple weeks after Easter. And the reason I said I lost my mind is because the surf is very good in Costa Rica. So I'm going to actually learn to walk this delicate rope of trying to discern between the difference of a surfing trip that you take your wife on or a vacation with your wife that you take your surfboard on. Pray for me. Because at the end of the day, you know I love to surf, but I also know, happy wife, happy life. Okay, so we're going to have a great time. But it reminded me of the last time I went to Costa Rica. It was with some Christian brothers on an all-men, like, surfing trip. We're talking, like, being in the ocean, like, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, and all we did was surf and eat and sleep. And it was a great trip. And part of why we went to Costa Rica is because a movie had come out called The Endless Summer 2. And there was a sequence in there about some remote surf spots in Costa Rica that were very good, and we went to one. And it was actually a place that was kind of sketchy. It was in a national park, it still is, in Costa Rica, that was where they did the location filming for Jurassic Park, honest. And basically, no civilization, no development, and the day we went, it was very hot and humid, and it was in the wet season, and the road was so bad that what looked like a brief trip from our hotel to the surf spot ended up taking about 5 hours till we got to the point where we couldn't drive any further and had to walk. And so the last mile and a half or so we walked, and we found ourselves on this beautiful beach. It was probably a mile long, and there was a big rock offshore in the middle of the beach, and just next to that rock is where the surf was really good. And so we had to walk about a half a mile on this beach. We were the only people there, like nobody. Like all the mountains and hills around, no development, no villages, you know, no little plumes of smoke from campfires, nobody. And it's really hot and humid. And in the movie, they feature the fact that to get to the surf spot, the last thing you did was paddle across the mouth of an estuary. And the estuary was, no kidding, full of saltwater crocodiles. So when we get there, it's like, is this smart? I don't want, another useful bit of information is when we left the hotel, because we thought it was a short trip, we forgot to bring the bottled water. So we'd been like out in the hot sun for hours. We hadn't had any water. We paddled out. The surf is fairly good, but not good enough to keep me out there, because after my second wave, I'm paddling back out. My two buddies are out there waiting for waves, and I start to paddle, and something real big goes like swirly in the water next to me, and my heart goes, I'm out of here. So I came into the beach, and now I'm waiting on the beach for my friends, you know, wondering, are they going to get eaten, or am I going to die of thirst first? And I was really uncomfortable. Like, I was really, like, skeeved out, frightened even. And so I prayed. And it was just a real simple prayer. So, Lord, I can't believe that our judgment got us to this place. I can't believe I'm here. I don't want to be here. I want to be, like, safe at home. But right now, Lord, I'm just, like, really, really thirsty. I'd like some water. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I look up, and I look around, and I look down the beach the other direction from where we had come. I see five figures about a half mile away walking toward us. And when they get closer, I figure out it's two young husbands with their wives doing this how to go on a surf trip with your wife thing. Two guys carrying surfboards, two young women with them, and a third fella, a fifth person. And he was a tico. That's like the Costa Rican term of affection for a Costa Rican fella. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, "Hola, me llamo Carlos. My name's Carlos. I brought you some water." This is like a true story. I go, are you kidding me? It's like, I can be like scared and uncomfortable and just ask the Lord for help and ask him for water. In a matter of moments, he can bring me somebody friendly who gives me, hey, the guy knew I needed water. What's up with that? Now, the reason I'm telling you that story, I mean, look, it sounds like a goofy little story. But, you know, prayer is like serious, serious business. Because right in this room, in a few minutes, we're going to be able to talk to the God of the universe that, like, right now is busy, like, dusting CO2 crystals on the pole of Mars. Right now he's doing that. And at the same time, he's anxious to hear from your heart and my heart about what our burden is right now. Are you thirsty? You dealing with something in your life? How did you answer that question in your mind? What do you need prayer for right now? I want to just read a little short prayer here to prime the pump, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time talking to the Lord. And it's this prayer in Psalm 61. And it's written by David. And a little background about this guy David, he was the king of Israel. And when he writes this prayer, he has been king for a while, and his kids have grown, and because of sin in David's life, the Lord has really brought some serious dysfunction into that family. And basically, he's got one son who murdered another son, and the guy that did the murdering, his name is Absalom, and David and Absalom are estranged, and Absalom has decided it's a good idea to take dad's throne away from him by force. And so he's raised up an insurrection. He's got a posse of armed men. David has fled Jerusalem. So now, dads, just think about this. Imagine like you're a dad. Imagine you're like king. And you got a son whom you love. And all of a sudden, you find yourself fleeing from your life from that son who is trying to hunt you down to kill you. That's the setting where David is praying. I think he's got some serious burden. Yeah? You can say yes. Okay, good. I want to make sure you're with me. Okay, so let's read the opening verses of this prayer. Let's stand, Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we're going to ask that you would just open our hearts wide. Lord, I would ask right now that by your Spirit, you would use this word to draw us heavenward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a seat, please. So as David opens here, his first words, hear my cry, O Lord. When he says cry, he's like crying out to the Lord. He's like, Lord, help me here. Hear my cry. So this is a guy that is emotional. He's feeling a depth of need, a sense of desperation and helplessness. There's a guy named Halsby that wrote a great book on prayer. I recommend it to you. And he was a Norwegian guy. That's a detail you don't need to know. But anyway, this guy Halsby, when he wrote the prayer, this opening chapter, he says, prayer is for the helpless. You say, okay, well, I feel pretty good this morning. I'm like kind of solid. I guess I probably should have done something else this morning than come to a prayer meeting. What we need to understand is that every single one of us are utterly and profoundly helpless. If you're having a great day today, it's because a great and good God is blessing you. Without him, you wouldn't have that blessing. You're helpless without him. If you're having a bad day today, there's great news. In your helplessness, you're just a moment of prayer away from the great God of help. Prayer is for the helpless. You know, so if I ask again, like, what do you need prayer for right now? Maybe you are going through that dark night of the soul. Maybe you're in a scary place where you know exactly what that is. But you know, maybe if the Lord has richly blessed you today and he goes, I'm all good. All we need to do is just open our eyes and look around. There are people in this room that are dealing with crises, with brokenness. Outside the walls of this place, there are people dealing with crises and brokenness that have no idea that there's a God who loves them. They have no idea that help is at hand. And we all can share a desperate burden for their condition, even when we're just doing swell inside this warm place today and loving each other and, you know, going to have some refreshments afterwards. I mean, this is good right where we are. There are people around us that are in an awful place. We should be burdened for them. There is plenty to move our hearts to step into the reality that David was in of hear my cry, O Lord, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you. He is like crossed the Jordan. He's left the promised land. He is like a long ways from home. And he's crying out to the Lord. And maybe for you this morning, maybe the sense in your heart is that God is like a long ways away. No, he's not. He's right in this room. So even if our heart feels like we are at the end of the earth, our heart is faint, brokenheartedness, we can cry out to him. And because I want us to get to prayer, I want to spend just a few minutes just showing you four pictures that David gives us of the Lord. They, in my heart, are helpful to me when I come to him in prayer. The first is a picture of a rock. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And when we think of a rock, I mean, we think of like, well, a rock, right? We think of something that's solid. We think that it's firm, that it's immovable. Since we're talking about pictures, a picture in my mind's eye right now is one, I bet many of you have seen it because they put it on those like inspirational, like hanging there kind of posters. It's a picture of this rocky little island. It's right off the coast of France. And it's this great big, like dark gray lighthouse. And the sea and the sky are both all gunmetal gray. So you have this great big tall lighthouse, and a giant wave has just crashed on the backside of the rock in the lighthouse, and the white water is just blasting up to heaven. And at the foot of the lighthouse on the other side is a little doorway, and there's some guy standing in that doorway. And he is safe from the blast of this enormous wave because he's on the rock. Did you know that when you call out to the Lord and you ask him to lead you to the rock, it's just an invitation for him to take you by the hand and to walk you to the place where you are absolutely rock, steady, immovable, safe. Prayer takes you there like that because that's who you're talking to is the rock. Now, there's a picture of a rock besides being like stable and solid. And well, and of course, I mean, Jesus uses that, right? Like, you know, foolish is the guy that builds his house on the sand. Wise is the one that builds his house on the rock. But there's a picture beyond stability of a rock being a source. You may remember the story. The Israelites have been delivered from captivity in Egypt. They're wandering in the desert. And if you go out into the desert and you forget your water, guess what happens? Same thing happened to Pastor Mike on the beach of Costa Rica. You get thirsty. And so they're thirsty and they're going like, where are we going to get water? And they call out to the Lord, and the Lord tells Moses, their leader, says, take your staff and strike the rock, and water comes gushing out of the rock. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul references that, speaking of our relationship with the Lord. He says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. That's like the cloud that led the Jews by day. And all passed through the sea. That was the parting of the Red Sea. All were baptized. That means placed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. We opened our worship service this morning singing, lead me to the cross. A picture in prayer is that he's the rock, he's the source, he's the one from whom the living water flows. Jesus said that when you drink of that water, you will never thirst again. In fact, it will well up in you as life, eternal life, and flow out to quench the thirst of the thirsty all around us. Lead me to the rock. That's the first picture. The second picture is actually the reason why David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's just like I'm thinking about Jesus, the rock that's like way up there. And he says, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. That picture of a refuge, it's a picture of a fortress. And again, I'm thinking in pictures here, and maybe you remember like watching that old Western where there was like a stockade, like where the army guys, the cavalry were, and the settlers, if there was some threat to the settlers, that's where they went, because they had like, you know, those big logs, building that great big high wall and a watchtower, and they had like, you know, guns and cannons and gunpowder and bullets, and it was a place where you could go and be absolutely safe from the enemy. Anybody feel threatened? Anybody feel like there are dangers in this life? Maybe it's your health, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's what's going on at school. Maybe it's someone who is actively treating you like an enemy they want to destroy. When we pray, we step into the place of safety in the presence of a Lord that has the ability to hold all enemies at bay, and in fact, in the presence of the one who defeated the great dark enemy. When we pray, that's where we go. The third picture that is here is a picture of a tent. Verse 4 says, let me dwell in your tent forever. That word tent is translated other places as tabernacle. It basically means a place of permanent dwelling. I have Latin American vacation scary stuff just on the mind. And what I was bringing to memory was my 8th grade class trip. I went to, they call it junior high school when I went, in Tucson, Arizona. And you didn't get to go to Washington. Like, it was all plush and safe and fun. Now, instead, what they did is the Spanish teacher was, like, in charge. And so we basically got on a school bus one Friday, and we headed south, and we went to Nogales and crossed into Sonora, Mexico. And all of a sudden, it's, like, it's hot, it's dusty, we're in a school bus, the road is terrible, and we go through these little villages, and everywhere we look, there's, like, this awful poverty and people that, like, deformities by the side of the road begging, and go, wow, this is just like the best 8th grade trip ever. And we get to Hermosillo, Mexico, and I don't remember a lot of details. I mean, it's the excitement, right? You're going to go stay overnight in a motel with a bunch of other 8th graders, and woohoo. And so we get to this hotel, and I just remember this place with, like, this cracked stucco, and it's kind of like this burnt orange color. And we get out of the bus, and you get first, like, draft of air. It's like 98 degrees. It's just dust, and all it smells like is sewage and garbage. And we go in the place, and the room and everything's dirty. But the last thing they tell us before we go into the dirty room is, kids, whatever you do, don't drink the water. Or you're going to get, like, dysentery and, like, die like those people on the Oregon Trail, you know? What reason I'm sharing that is because in that setting, I had such a longing for home. Maybe some of you experienced it like that first time as a kid, you went to sleepover camp, right? Or like, I just want to be home where it doesn't smell like poop and the sheets are dirty. I want to go someplace where it smells like chocolate chip cookies. And my mom had one of those mangle things, like you feed the clothes in. And my mom ironed our sheets, you know? So I wanted some nice crisp, like, what do they call it? High thread count sheets pulled up under my, I want to be home. Did you know that our home is with the Lord, and that we go to Him in prayer, we are able to go to that place where you're loved, where the smells are sweet, where there is comfort and companionship and affection, where you're accepted just as you are, as a member of His family that He loves so much, and where there is that shalom peace and contentment and fulfillment. David, when he says, let me dwell in your tent forever, I just want to be home. It's a beautiful thing to pray for, to be in His presence in that safe and kind and gentle place. The last picture, so we got a rock, we got a fort, we got a home, now we got feathers. Feathers. Yeah, that's what it says. It says, let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. It's been like Eagle City around here lately. I don't know if any of you have seen, anybody seen an eagle in the recent weeks? Okay, a couple people, yeah. I saw pictures on the internet of eagles over at Roseland Pond and Woodstock and the lake where we live. I'm going to guess, actually, if I counted up like 5 eagles this week, well, it's probably the same eagles, but 5. Actually, I saw 3 at the same time on Tuesday. Yesterday, I saw 2. In fact, I'm out like flipping burgers, enjoying the simulated spring. Yesterday afternoon, and just before we came to the Creative Arts Night here. That was awesome, by the way, Creative Arts Night. But I'm flipping burgers, and this blue heron flies over, and I go, oh, maybe there's an eagle. And I looked, and right across the lake in a hemlock tree, there was an eagle. So got the binoculars, got Lynn. By the way, I looked it up because I was curious. The eagles right now are like somewhere between laying the eggs and little ones, maybe little ones already in the nest. Can you imagine if your mom or a dad were an eagle? Well, they kind of have to both be eagles, right? Okay, but just imagine like a little eaglet being cared for. These are this magnificent, great big bird, you know, with like, you know, 7 foot wingspan, you know, just incredible, like great big talons, just powerful, powerful bird of prey. But I mean, we just sang a few minutes ago, you're a good, good father. Imagine now, it's going to start raining probably in any minute out here. Do you think those little eaglets, if they've already hatched, you think they're going to get any rain on their head? I don't think so. It's because mom or dad, by the way, both genders take care of the babies in eagle land. This mom or dad is going to be there with like sheltering wings. Do you think there are any predators that are going to mess with those little ones? I don't think so. They're going to be under the shelter of the wings of one who is fierce and powerful and loves them fiercely and takes care of them. Right now, we are under the shelter of his wings. When we pray, we realize that when we look up, we don't see hazards. We don't see hailstones. We don't see lightning. We don't see fearsome predators coming after us. No, instead, we see the wings of a Lord God who loves us. Just some pictures for us as we go to prayer, which we're going to do right now. Lead us to the rock, Lord. Remind us that you are the fortress. You are the safe place. Take us home in our hearts right now, even though it may be a while before we're physically home. And remind us that we are under the shelter of your wings right now. So we're going to go to prayer. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to invite the band to kind of be ready to go. But we're going to start here with just a time of praise. By the way, this is like a Pastor Mike idiosyncrasy. Praise and thanks are two different kinds of prayer. Okay, here's the deal. When I praise the Lord, my eyes are up on him, and all I'm doing is praising him for like who he is, what he's done, what he said, how awesome he is. When I give thanks, my eyes now move from the Lord down to what he's given me. And when I say thanks, I'm expressing that in the context of the incredible relationship I have with him. But for starters, we're just going to praise him. Do you get that part? Okay, and basically we're going to have like a buzzer, okay? So if when we ask you to pray prayers of praise and you give him thanks, we just go, eh. No, we're not going to do that, okay? But we're just going to take a few minutes and praise him, and we're going to use a format that we've done it here before. We call it popcorn praise. And those of you that are the silent type, you're like, now you're horrified right now because we're going to ask people to pray aloud, but you don't have to. And so I just want to appeal to those in here that are comfortable praying out loud to lead the way. I know a bunch of you have done this before, but we're just going to like praise the Lord. And so like each in turn, like not all at once, okay? The Lord wants orderly worship. So each in turn, we're just going to praise him. And this is not about oration. It could just be, I just praise you because you're big. I mean, just simple. It could be simple like that. We're just going to have a season of praise, and then we will sing some praise together. Okay, so I'll tell you what. Who wants to volunteer to be the first to praise the Lord? Mary, you're on. Okay, so lead the way. It's called popcorn praise, okay? He's the heat, and we're the corns, okay? So let's go.